All right, Silicon Valley is catching its breath. Now what? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. That giant whooshing sound, that was the collective exhale of tens of thousands of startup founders, workers, and investors after federal regulators assured customers of the failed Silicon Valley Bank they would have access to all their deposits. Most of the bank's 40,000 customers are tech startups, which spent much of the weekend bracing for the worst, that their money would be tied up or lost in what one commentator forecast as an extinction-level event for startups. That is off the table, but there's still an SVB-sized hole in the tech landscape, says Natasha Mascarenhas. She's a senior reporter at TechCrunch, and she broke down how this one bank got so embedded in the startup scene.
When it comes to banks, they're not risky institutions. And SVB had a, you know, decades and decades long reputation of being more comfortable working with startup founders. They were comfortable lending them money, lending these people who are, considered risky from more traditional lenders. They were not comfortable with companies or institutions that didn't have assets or cash flow, which are things that startups very much are synonymous with. You know, we often see companies only hit profitability, you know, late stage or even once they're public, not yet be profitable. So I feel like SVB really got to a place where it was this trusted partner to, you know, most recently, they were at one point banking more than half of all U.S. venture-backed startups, just to give a sense of scale.
Right. And when we think of kind of the scope of the companies involved here, I think when people think Silicon Valley tech startups, they're like, oh, you know, companies that make an app or something. I mean, give me a sense of kind of the scope here.
Yeah, I mean, within tech itself, I think there has been so much, there's been broadening of how many people and how mission-based tech companies can be. But I mean, SVB also, like I like to say, like Silicon Valley Bank, despite its name, it impacted so much more than Silicon Valley. There was affordable housing projects that were being questioned. There were, you know, Napa's wineries and the thousands of employees that they employ were being put under stress, and a ton of nonprofits. So, I mean, there was such a broad range of people that were impacted. It was stunning to me as someone who is a venture reporter, but still not as always, you know, is not always slapped in the face for how interconnected our system is.
I mean, this was just so intertwined with the entire ecosystem. Like, what are the vacuums that this leaves, even if startups can get their money?
Even with a seeming source of relief and potential and hopeful access, as we see founders trying to access their funds, I think the big vacuum is really, who do startups trust today? If it's not Silicon Valley Bank that's helping Silicon Valley, who are they going to go to? And to me, yeah, the biggest vacuum is trust. I think a lot of it's been broken, not just between tech and banks, but within tech too. I don't know if there's like a steady and calm source. And I think part of it's because everyone's saying to be calm, but there's no clarity on where you actually keep money. Something as fundamental as that is, you know, a big question mark right now.
So if you were, you know, describing kind of the weekend as this surreal moment in tech, how would you describe right now the beginning of the week?
It's like a half exhale, if that's how I have to put it. I'm like, okay, I think we have gotten good news. I mean, we have gotten good news with the regulator stepping in, but I think everyone is kind of like locked in place. Just based on the VCs and the founders I spoke to, I feel like the mood really went from fear to anger to panic to, you know, now there's like relief, but a cautious relief. So I think people are still not fully out of the woods yet. And I will say, Megan, the biggest difference is last week, everyone was going on Twitter immediately and sharing their two cents. This week, I think tech is being a little bit more quiet and people are coming to me more on Signal and in my DMs to say, we don't want to start another bank run, but we actually don't know what to do. And so I think it's kind of like a cautious, quieter relief. Time will tell for the rest of the week. But yeah, I feel cautiously calm.
Natasha Mascarenhas is a senior reporter at TechCrunch. And Natasha Mascarenhas has a whole lot more coverage on this at TechCrunch. I don't think she's slept since last Wednesday. You can find your way to it from our website, marketplacetech.org, where, of course, all our Marketplace programs are working hard to explain every conceivable aspect of these bank failures. The finance side, the regulatory side, the behavioral psychology side. You know where to turn when the Silicon Valley Bank hits the fan. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.